But let me just mention here, just by way of introduction, as I've been heading into this part of Deuteronomy, I'm beginning to understand, in part, why we're experiencing what we are in America. In reality, when a nation rejects this book right here, you have all kinds of issues and problems. I really believe that with all my heart. Now, I'm going to say this again. I've emphasized this throughout our study of the Old Testament. This was written, there's the proper interpretation, this was written to Israel. That's the interpretation. This is given to a theocracy of the nation of Israel. However, I want for us to understand that God still has application for us. We've seen these verses in the New Testament where it talks about the Old Testament is for our learning and so on. Now, just I'm saying that to say this. Just as a follow-up on my second message lesson on Sunday, I had a link forwarded to me in relation to liberal Mayor de Blasio in New York City, where he, in that video, said, this was a statement made for all of New York City. In that statement, he emphasized, if people do not abide by the guidelines that have been established, people are not going to be allowed into the parks. That's all he said about that. We're just going to be not allowing people into the parks unless you practice social distancing and so on and so forth. Right after that, he introduces this by saying, this pains me. Yeah, sure. This pains me to say this. For the most part, churches and synagogues in New York have abided by the regulations. There are some who, for whatever reason, have not agreed to abide by the guidelines. To which he said this, if they do not, the police, the fire department, and so on, the buildings department, have all been informed that we will shut those churches and synagogue, here's the word that he added, churches and synagogues down permanently. That's what this really is all about. You don't believe me? I heard a series of sound bites today. In February, Nancy Pelosi, in February, she was outspokenly inviting people to Chinatown where she lives in California. I heard a series of 7 to 10 different sound bites with the so-called liberals that are having problems with some of the stuff that's going on, they were encouraging this pandemic to take place. There's a reason why on the United States map, the hotspots are liberal areas. There is a reason. Here's what I'm convinced this is what's taking place. They found out now that Christians will not stand up for their God-given rights. So let me ask you, if we had a 9/11 situation after this takes place, what are we going to be told to do? And let me just say, I want to reemphasize this. As I said on Sunday, we are not meeting here in protest of the government. Daniel did not continue praying in protest to the government. Daniel continued praying as he did aforetime. There's a lot of disagreement on this, but I'm convinced, I've been watching this for 30 years, off and on. I'm convinced the next generation, you fast forward 30 years. I had a conversation with a man, I should have shut it off sooner than I did. But he said, well, this isn't China. I decided, you know what, I have to walk away from this. I said, well, I hope not. I guess it's not yet. These are the same things that China has said to limit. Now you can't even pray in people's homes now. That's why we're at where we are in America. We have rejected this book right here. Now, God emphasized some things to Israel. Now, I want you to notice here, even as we're starting to head into this next section of the book of Deuteronomy, God established some things as far as Israel that if they wanted God's blessing on a nation, blessed is the nation what? Whose God is the Lord. We have a nation who does not care about God anymore. When a nation says that churches are non-essential, that tells you the spiritual climate of our nation. This entity right here is a non-essential. Well, by the way, that conversation came up with this man because I mentioned, well, the problem we're having is trying to have church with all these limitations. So we'll have it in the parking lot. I said, they don't allow that. They don't allow any group over 10 people. So to which I said, you know, last weekend, you know, Lincoln Police Department broke up a meeting or a birthday party of 30 people. You know, one of the difficulties I have with this, it's not just about churches. You think about thousands of people dying as they're projecting 100,000, 200,000, whatever now. Thousands of people dying and their families can't even have a memorial service. Our nation is bankrupt spiritually. And you notice here what it says in chapter 9. It says, "Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day." Now, in chapters 9 through 11, I have this note written. I don't know where I came across this, but motivation to obedience. I really believe America is coming to a point where they're going to have to determine, are we going to obey God or are we going to obey, you know, big government? Now, you notice here it says, "Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day." Now, wait a minute. Israel did not go over the Jordan River for a month or two later. Now, there's a problem in the Bible. No, that's not a problem in the Bible. This is an emphasis. Notice here, even though they do not go over Jordan for a month or two later, notice there to start preparing immediately. Now, I want you to think about this. There are some things that God wants to do in our lives spiritually. Okay, we may not arrive at that point, even sometimes for years down the road. We may not arrive at that point, but we are to start now preparing for what God wants us to do down the road. As you think about this spiritually, notice again, Israel would cross over Jordan, but the urgency in getting ready. He says, you are to pass over Jordan this day, to go into possess nations, notice, greater and mightier than thyself. They already knew this. That's why they spent an extra 38 years in the wilderness. Cities great and fenced up to heaven. A people great and tall, they already knew this. Again, this is why they ended up 38 years, extra years in the wilderness. The children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest, they already knew about them. And of whom thou hast heard say, oh, we've heard reports about these people. Who can stand before the children of Anak? Now, that's the other nations that are saying this. You've heard these reports. But I want you to consider, I am the Lord. I'm the one who's going to help you. Understand, therefore, this day. By the way, you know that what is it, Facing Giants, Facing the Giants, or whatever, that movie, that Christian movie. These are the first people who were facing giants as far as Christians, believers. Obviously, they weren't Christians. But you notice here, understand, therefore, this day, that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee. God says, I'm going before you. As a consuming fire. Now, throughout the Bible, we see that God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 12, 29 and other places talk about this. Now, what I see in this is, I want God as a consuming fire helping me and not consuming me. Because you notice here it says, as a consuming fire, he shall destroy them, and by the way, forever and ever. It says, he shall bring them down before thy face, so shalt thou drive them out, and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. But again, God is a consuming fire. Now, notice with me Revelation chapter 19. All right, so here's a New Testament application of what God's going to do with his enemies in the future. And by the way, if you read some of the Old Testament prophecies about this, it's not a pretty picture. Literally, their flesh will consume off of them when Jesus comes. I mean, that's what the Old Testament prophets say happens in this whole situation. Of course, this is after the rapture. We've been taken to heaven. This is after the marriage supper of the Lamb in the early part of this chapter. This says here in verse 11 then, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." All right, so notice his vesture was as it was dipped in blood. Notice it was not splattered. So in other words, his vesture carried the appearance of his blood. I thought that was very interesting. This possibly is going to be a reminder of his blood that was shed for us. I don't know. But you notice it, his vesture was not splattered with the blood of his enemies, but his vesture was, as it was, dipped in blood. And his name was called the Word of God. And the armies, plural, probably the armies of angels and us, which were in heaven, followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now, how many of you have ever ridden a horse before? I'm thankful that I'll be in a glorified state then, because I don't really enjoy riding horses. Ever since when we were young, my brother was thrown off a horse. It's like, I don't really care to do that. I saw that, and it's like, you know what? I don't really feel like experiencing that. The only time that I can remember since then riding a horse was a 20-year-old horse that knew the path when I was doing some things with young people. But so I got the mild-mannered horse that knew the trail, had it memorized. So that's fine with me. That worked. But out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of and wrath of Almighty God. By the way, the armies are coming with him, but we're not really going to have to fight. He's going to take care of it all. But here's the point I want you to see. The Lord goes before. That's exactly what's going to happen in Revelation 19, as we see he's saying here as far as Israel. Verse 16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is when he comes and cleans house. He is going to take over all the kingdoms of the earth, and he's going to take care of all this mess that we have. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. This is not a pretty picture. That you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth and their armies, gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he had deceived them that received the mark. There is so much deception today. Our world is prepared to just believe the deception of some ruler today. Notice, received the mark of the beast. This is that global economy. This is that global government that they're all calling for, that they're working towards. And them that worshipped his image, these both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Our God is still a consuming fire. And you notice back in Deuteronomy 9, he would go before Israel just as he goes before us spiritually in our spiritual battles. It says, he shall bring them down, verse 3, before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. By the way, this battle in Revelation 19 that we're going to watch, we're going to see, as we're returning with the Lord Jesus Christ to set up his kingdom, we're going to see all this take place. Notice, he's going to destroy them quickly. Now, notice what he says, though. He says, don't think you're special, though. I'm not doing this because, you're somebody special. Because it says in verse 4, he puts Israel in their place, notice. Speak not thou in thine heart. Notice this reference here to self-righteous pride. Speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. I'm so right with God. No, he says, that's not the reason I'm doing this. Here's the reason why I'm doing this. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord, to drive them out from before thee. Remember in Genesis 15, 16, Abraham has said, when the iniquity of the Amorites is full. Here's what happens. Okay, here's why God puts up with wickedness in our land. It's filling up. 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 And when it's finally full, God says, that's it. By the way, it's very possible he's bringing the enemy into our America already. I really believe that with all my heart. It's like we have areas that are pushing for Sharia law and so on. Leviticus 18, 24 and 25 tells us the same thing. Notice it's for the wickedness of these nations the Lord drives them out. It's not, now three times he repeats this for emphasis. He says, I want you to remember, it's not for your righteousness that I'm doing this, or for the uprightness of thine heart. dost thou go in to possess their land. But for the wickedness of these nations, again, second time. Verse 6, understand therefore, third time, that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness. Why? Because thou art a stiff-necked people. He says, I've been dealing with you for 40 years. You're a stubborn, rebellious people. Notice God puts them in their place. I'm doing this because of the wickedness of the nations, not because you're so right before me. In fact, Stephen even mentions this in Acts chapter 7 as he confronts the religious leaders and so on before he's stoned to death. He says, you stubborn and stiff-necked, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. That's where America is today. What does the word stiff-neck mean? Does it mean they need a chiropractor because they have a stiff neck? The word stiff-neck means hard-hearted, stubborn, rebellious. That is America spiritually. Is it any wonder we're dealing with what we are? Again, God repeats this for emphasis. We do not deserve anything from God. Notice with me 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Well, I must be pretty right with God because look at all. No, it's because God has been gracious and merciful. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. Here Paul says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. Notice, the things that we thought we got away with, bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. That's one reason why we need to deal with our thoughts, right? And then shall every man have praise of God. So God's going to deal with these things, and then we will receive rewards. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written. So in other words, don't think somebody's so important. By the way, this verse right here would help us not to be such men pleasers. Notice, above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. Now, here's what I want you to see in verse 7. Who maketh thee to differ from another? Why are you so special? Why do you think you're so special? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory? Why are you boasting as if thou hadst not received it? So applying that to what Israel is told here back in Deuteronomy 9, God says it's not because you're special. It's not because you're so right before me, because you're a stiff-necked people. But then there's an important word there in verse 7. Remember and forget not. Excuse me. Remember and forget not. He's now going to give the evidence. And what I think is interesting, as I was doing some cross-references, as far as that word remember, it's interesting, in Luke 16:25, Abraham tells the rich man in hell, son, remember. You know what's going to add to the fires of hell? People remembering the opportunities that they had to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what's going to add to hell? People remembering the time that they rejected the gospel. They're going to remember that forever and ever and ever and ever. Now, in this passage, he says, remember the golden calf. Remember all the times that you have rebelled against me. Forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness. Remember how you provoked me. From the day that thou didst, right from the start. By the way, it only took them a short trip to start complaining and murmuring because they saw the Egyptians coming. But right from the start, just days after leaving Egypt. In fact, Psalm 78 rehearses all the times that they would get right with God and then rebel against. Get right with God and rebel. Also in Horeb, you provoked the Lord to wrath, so that the Lord was angry with you to destroy you. Of course, this is a reference to the golden calf. So what he's doing here is he's giving proof that they were not righteous. They don't think this thing, you're getting this land because you're more righteous than everyone else. No, it's because of the wickedness of the land. You have to remember that. Now, what is interesting, in the end of verse 9, he talks about fasting 40 days and 40 nights. He says, I neither did eat bread nor drink water. Now, that is what I call a supernatural fast, and I never, ever, ever, ever recommend somebody to try a 40-day fast. I am very suspect of those who say that they have performed a 40-day fast. In other words, they have exalted themselves to be equal to Moses, and not only that, but the Lord Jesus Christ. I looked it up just to be a reminder from what I remembered studying in school. Most people can live without food about 3 weeks. So the 40 days not eating food is not such a big deal, but he says he did not even drink water for 40 days. From what they say, depending on how hydrated you are at the beginning, you can only go 3 days without water. That tells me this is a supernatural fast. So if somebody claims to have done a 40-day fast, they're at least drinking water. But again, I've heard some of these charismatic leaders and so on. I don't believe it. Anyway, it says, verse 10, it says, the Lord delivered unto me 2 tables of stone written with the finger of God. So does that mean that God used lightning bolts from his finger to carve out the... If you do cross-references of this phrase, the finger of God, it's very interesting. As Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit in Matthew 12, 28, that same passage in found, or same situation, same event, found in Luke 11, verse 20, it says that Jesus was casting out devils with the finger of God. So what does that say? That's a title of the Holy Spirit. It's very interesting that the finger of God gave the Ten Commandments. So that's a reference here to the Holy Spirit writing all of these Ten Commandments down. It's very interesting. Verse 12, and it says, and the Lord said unto me, arise, get thee down quickly from hence, for thy people, which the, Moses says, he's probably wondering, first of all, why are you so upset, Lord? Maybe I don't want to take credit for these people. It says, for thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. Notice this phrase, for they are quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten image. Hold your place there, notice with me, Galatians chapter 1. I always try to find New Testament applications. And this is a passage that came to my mind as I was studying down through here. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and following. And let me just remind you that Galatians is the one epistle that the Apostle Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that does not start with commendation of the churches in Galatia. In fact, Paul is dealing with shock that they're so quickly turning away from the truth. But let me give you a context of this. As the Apostle Paul moved on from the churches of Galatia, false teachers were coming in and saying, you don't really need the Apostle Paul. You don't really... And so when they turned away from the Apostle Paul, they turned away from everything that he taught them. Now, I marvel, verse 6, that you are so soon removed. Remember, Israel was said that they had turned quickly away from the Lord's commands. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. Excuse me, my voice is dry tonight. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now, you notice here that the Apostle Paul includes himself in that. We, if we are an angel from heaven, whether it's Angel Moroni, whether it's Angel Gabriel, there's all kinds of false teachers that say they received it from an angel. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Because he emphasizes in verse 10, I'm trying to please God, not man. Now back in Deuteronomy 9, again, we say that the Lord says that they have quickly turned aside out of the way. There are so many who quickly turn away from the truth. That probably tells us they never believed in the truth anyway. But then it says in verse 13, furthermore, the Lord spake unto me, saying, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Again, he emphasizes this. But you notice here what God does. He testifies against the nation of Israel. I have seen this people. God saw it, and he's testifying against them that they are a stubborn people. Psalm 50, verse 7 says, hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. Now, I'm going to remind you that if we get to the judgment seat of Christ and we've not lived the life that we should, God will be testifying against us as the Lord Jesus Christ checks out our works. Verse 14, let me alone. Here's God. Let me alone. Stand back, Moses, that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven. Of course, in this passage, Moses reminds them that God even offered to make a nation mightier and greater than they through Moses. So we would have had Moses today instead of Israel. So I turned and came down to the mount. And God, you know, Moses is thinking, why is God so upset? So then he looks and he sees what's going on, the dancing and everything, as we understand in Exodus 32. And it says, ye had turned, then verse 16, ye had turned aside quickly out of the way. Moses saw firsthand what God was talking about. You notice that it says he took the two tables and cast them out. I cast them out of my hands and break them before your eyes. This is not just anger. This is a symbolic statement as he's smashing the Ten Commandments that he just brought down from, you know, the Ten Commandments. It's a part of the covenant that he made with Israel at Sinai. This is a symbolic statement saying that they had broken their part of the covenant with God. It says in verse 18, I fell down before the Lord as at the first. Now, not just one 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, two of them. I have a hard time believing that Moses, unless this was a supernatural fast, I have a hard time believing that Moses would have lived through 80 days of fasting, no drinking of water. Then he says as he's before God, in fact, Hebrews 12, remember, talks about that Moses was trembling as he's before God. He says in verse 19, for I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure. God is a God of love. God accepts everyone. Not according to the Bible. By the way, the God of the Old Testament is still the God of the New Testament. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure. Because he's also a holy God and not just a God of love. Wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. This is God's chosen nation. God was so upset. But the Lord hearkened unto me. Again, we've already seen this. The intercession of Moses as he's literally standing before God, between God and angry God and the people. And the Lord was very angry with Aaron. Why? Because he led them into all of this with the golden calf. To have destroyed him. God wanted to destroy Aaron, the first chosen high priest. And I prayed for Aaron also at the same time. Of course, then we always drink of the consequences of our sin. He says, I took your sin, the calf which he had made, and burnt it with fire, and stamped it, and ground it very small, even until it was as small as dust. And of course, as we understand in Exodus 32, he made the people drink of it. Let me remind you that when we make choices contrary to this book right here, we will drink the consequences of our choices. Then the Lord mentions more than one place that Israel provoked the Lord. Taberah was Numbers 11. Massa was Exodus 17. Another one that was mentioned here is Kibroth Hattaavah. Notice, again, the emphasis of these places. You've provoked me over and over and over again. So much for your self-righteousness. Likewise, verse 23, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, this is the reason why they spent an extra 38 years in the wilderness. Go up and possess the land which have given, but then ye rebelled. Again, these are all reminders that they're not self-righteous. You rebelled against the commandments of the Lord your God, and ye believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice. Rebellion, unbelief, and disobedience. You have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. By the way, how many of you are, ever since your first day of salvation, you have perfectly followed the Lord? Not one of us. Not one of us. So much for the self-righteousness that we often experience in our hearts. Thus I fell down before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights as I fell down at the first. He's pleading with God to spare the nation. Isaiah 63:10 says, but they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. You notice the change. Instead of God fighting for them, he became their enemy as they rebelled against him. Verse 27, remember thy servants. This is Moses praying here. Remember thy servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look not into the stubbornness of this people. Look beyond that and remember your promise, Lord. I'm thankful that the Lord looks beyond our failures. to his promise that I will save you forevermore. Look not on the stubbornness of this people, nor to their wickedness, nor to their sin. What I think is interesting here, as this chapter closes out, Moses had concern for God's testimony before the unbelieving nations. When we plead with God, what's our motive? What's our concern? God, I want you to be glorified. God, I want you to be honored. What is our motive as we plead with God? I really believe we need to be pleading for America today. I really believe that. But what's our motive? I found myself praying something today, but then I had to check, why am I praying this? Lord, please come. Was it just because I'm tired of dealing with this mess? Even so, come, Lord Jesus, or I want to see Jesus. What's our motive? Father, I pray that you'd help us to examine our own hearts. Lord, so many times, especially after we've been saved for a while and we've gained some victories in our life from time to time, Lord, from time to time we can end up with some righteousness, self-righteousness in our hearts. And we think we deserve your blessings. Lord, you pour out these blessings, not because of our own righteousness, but because of your mercy. Lord, even as Paul said, why do we boast about things that we've received? No merit of our own. So Lord, help us to learn this lesson from the nation of Israel, as they're reminded before they went into the promised land. It's because of the wickedness of the land that they received that promised land, not because of them being special and getting favors from God. Help us remember these things in Jesus' name. Amen.